traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I am Jeremy Jackson, host, but I'm talking with Christina Fry about practical preceptor tips. And so that's what this one will be, is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/practical preceptor tips. So as most people know, we just completed our first semester with the University of Houston as preceptors. And Christina, you know, how long have you been doing it?
We've been doing it for quite some time. I personally have been doing it for the past 7 years, 5 years at Dawson. But I know Dawson had it, I think they were one of the first sites for U of H.
So you've been doing it for 7 years, and mm-hmm. you know, we went to the hooding ceremony, so where they kind of get their master's hood put on. And you know, just talking with you and Joseph, there was he said, yeah, we got this person, this person, this person. Pretty much like almost all of them had gone through either the first or second year with you guys. And you know, it's just, it's really cool just to think about, you know, the impact that you're having. And one of the things that really said when I said, hey, I want to speak to you guys about being a good preceptor or just some practical ways to implement some good things is whenever I saw your MAT students highly involved with the GHADs, right? So they went with y'all to GHADs. They were there with your kids, wearing the same shirt, you know, cheering the kids on with the quiz bowl and those kind of things. And so I just want to talk to, I just want you to share some of the things that you've done, you feel like have done really well to help those kids from the, you know, master's program be really involved and really, you know, advance in the profession.
Yeah. So essentially we treat our U of H students as an extension of our staff. They aren't, of course, certified athletic trainers, but we want them to be respected in our athletic training room just like one of us. So we tell our students, you have to call them Mr. or Mrs. by their last name, or if they have a harder last name, you know, kind of a nickname of sorts. Like Joseph, his last name's Eberhardt, so he goes by Mr. E. Some of our students have come through and said, oh, I'm just Miss M. Different things like that. So they start that respect at that level. We interview them in a set, you know, we interview them to make them feel like they're in a professional setting. They get accepted into their position, and we also teach them. We want every day to be an educational opportunity for them, and we make sure that every day they learn something new. So my assistant Thomas, he likes to ask them at the end of each day, what did you learn today? So just from the start, they feel like they're a part of our program. Whether we have them for the entire year or for just 8 weeks, we make sure that they are a Dawson Eagle. So we outfit them, we give them clothes, we invite them to our Friday night football pregame meal with our students. That way they get that interaction and they can kind of see our relationship with our students, and they can also build on that professional relationship with the kiddos. We always just want to make sure that they feel respected, and we always want to grow them and form them into the next ATs.
All right, so going back to, you interview them to accept them into the position, they're, yeah, that's what I'm saying, you, quotation so, marks, because they're already assigned there. So.
Correct. So we ask them to submit a resume, and for a lot of them, this is their first job interview. So we ask them questions, we ask them where they're from. That way they can get that early exposure to what an interview will be like whenever they do finish their position or their program to then become an athletic trainer. So we ask them interview-like questions, we review their resume, then we ask them to submit a cover letter, and we give them those critiques so they can start working and building that resume up so that whenever they are done with the program, they can apply and be successful in their interviews for their actual job.
And do y'all do that just once, or do y'all, like, interview them every week, every 3 weeks, that kind of thing?
So for our level twos, they're with us all year long. We make sure that we give them probably once a month update. Our level two this past year, she wanted an update every day, every week. So we always were helping her and growing her. Anytime that there was, we noticed she hiccuped on something or she was just unsure about something, we always gave her that reassurance of, this is how you can handle it as a professional. This is a different way that you can approach it if this was uncomfortable for you. But we always like to give them feedback. For the level ones, you know, it takes a while to get that comfort zone, but we always try to give them feedback once we notice something, whether good or bad.
All right. And then you talked about you outfit them to make sure they feel welcome. That's kind of one of the things that me and Sophia talked about is, do we give them the one that says athletic trainer, or do we give them the one that the students wear, you know, because we try to differentiate that. And then do you just say that's yours to keep? And so what does that look like for y'all?
So it varies versus level two or level one. So our level twos, we'll give them the polo for the year, our game day polo. And we do require them to look professional in the athletic training room when they come in every day. Our students, they'll wear Nike shorts and a t-shirt. We ask that our U of H students either wear something U of H to differentiate them, or they wear a polo with either nicer shorts or nicer slacks along with their U of H ID badge. And that way it identifies them as an adult and not a student. So for G hats, we made a fun t-shirt because they have the t-shirt contest. And we had an event, like a team building activity with our students of tie-dyeing the shirts. And so we invited our U of H students to come join in since they went with us to G hats. And they were allowed to wear that shirt just as a fun G hats representation. So it kind of varies for the level ones. If we have a event going on in their time that they're with us, we'll go ahead and give them one of the student shirts. But for the most part, we'll give them our practice shirt for the year that they can wear on their own time. Sometimes we have Saturday treatments that they can wear that too, and different things like that.
Right, and then one of the things that kind of I'm still trying to work out is scheduling. So if I have a first year and a second year, do I say, okay, these are the days you are here and you have to work? And then, like, how do you compensate for the things where, okay, well, their professors just told them you have to work the Ironman or you have to work this. So how do you guys balance that out, hold them accountable, but also keep in mind that they're college students?
So you and I have the luxury of working in a high school setting. So we automatically have Sundays off. So that is their one day a week that they have their day off, because they are required to have at least one day off in a 7-day span. So we keep that in mind. We use something called Homebase, which is a scheduling app where our students, ourselves, and our U of H kids can submit their days off request. And so we honor that based on, you know, they have their clin ed meetings on Friday morning, so they don't have to report to the clinic until after those are finished. We always remember that they are students first, so they can communicate with us that they have a big test coming up and they'd like the evening off before to study. They just have to have that communication with us. And then also we treat it like how if one of us had a doctor's appointment one morning and we'd say, hey, I need this off for that. And so we encourage them to communicate with their staff, which is the other U of H students, to ensure things get covered. So it's already getting them started in that work-life setting of, hey, I got to be out on this day. Can you cover this? And I'll get this for you. And so we always kind of started off with that. And when it comes to accountability, they've got to, you know, they've got a set amount of time with us that they have to get their so many hours for the CATIE accreditation. And so we tell them, you know, if you're not going to be here, that's your own hours. You've got to make sure you make those up. And they know that from their program. But we always give them the opportunity to be at every game if they want. We show them this is what's going on. I'll put you on the schedule. If you can't make it, communicate that with your staff and then trade accordingly.
So just again, kind of go over that. So what I've done, what I did this year was in the Outlook calendar, you know, the event, I would share it with Sophia and the two U of H students and just say, okay, well, these are the events. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are saying this specifically is yours. You can come if you want. And so for example, Kennedy, if, you know, she wasn't assigned Tuesday night basketball, but she showed up. How did you handle it? Like, did she have to request there? She could just show up if she wanted.
We asked them to ask us in advance, especially for indoor games or baseball, softball, because the space is limited as far as, like, chairs in the gym or space in the dugout. We say, if you do want to come and work extra, just give us that heads up so that way we can say yes or no. And it's kind of the same way we work with our students, too, because a lot of them like to come to other games and work extra, and certain things they can, certain things they can't. And so we just kind of set those guidelines in the beginning based on what's going to be going on during their rotation with us.
All right. And then ensuring that you're providing like an educational opportunity, can, because when I took it in, I was like, okay, well, they're just going to be hanging out like I did in the training room. But what we should really be doing is going over stuff with us and, you know, saying, hey, well, here's this lesson, you know, and towards the end of the year, we said, hey, can you teach our students a lesson, you know, whatever you learned today in class? And so they were talking about blood pressure and things like that. And they're just teaching a small group of kids that lesson, go over to that. How do you hand off responsibility to those students?
So when the first years come in, they haven't gone over really any anatomy for their assessment class. So once they reach, you know, the test, so the ankle, the knee, the hip, if they're going over ankle at the time, we say every ankle sprain that comes in here, we want you on it, evaling it to where you're at in your studies. Once you complete ankle, every ankle eval, we say that's yours. We want you to take that eval. We want you to complete it. That way they're getting that hands-on. That way they're getting that clinical experience, and then so on and so forth as they get up in the different body parts. Our level twos, they, you know, we kind of give them a little bit more autonomy when it comes to that. If they're struggling in remembering the different shoulder special tests, every shoulder that comes in, go get on that eval, go check it out, go figure it out, come back, ask us questions. And obviously we're always there right next to them, making sure that they are completing it correctly. But we want them to get as much hands-on experience with different patients, because you can sit there and go on your classmate, you know, five times in class and then go study with them, but they're going to present the same way versus Johnny B and Allie A. Like, they're going to, you know, we've got a cross-country runner and a football player. They're going to present differently with their different symptoms, even though it's the same ankle sprain. So we want them to see those injuries. We want them to experience those athletes that, you know, sometimes Johnny B is a little particular, but Allie, she's going to push through all her pain. So we just kind of give them that exposure, so that way whenever they are in the real world and they see that same thing, they can, you know, differentiate, okay, this is how this athlete is, and starting that patient care early with them.
You mentioned, you know, they're, okay, well, they're at the ankle level or they're at the knee level, that kind of thing. Do you have the course requirements or the, what do they call it?
The syllabus.
The syllabus, there you go. I was thinking schedule of when they are certain things.
We ask to see that, or we just ask them, hey, would you go over today in assessment? Hey, what are you learning in this class? And they kind of tell us, and we say, okay, we'll make sure to touch on that. So we're using a more practical time, like a lab, essentially. So whatever class they're in and whatever they're going over, we allow them to use that in a hands-on setting with us. And then we also have a time each week that we meet with our kiddos to go over our quiz bowl studying materials. And we always invite our grad students to come out and listen to those lectures as well.
So that's one of the things, like, I was creating kind of like a schedule on Excel and just saying, okay, well, on week one, here's what we want you to do. Week two, here's what you do. and so that way they get experience setting up the field and how we do it and why we do it. And then they also get experience, you know, doing the evals or cleaning or, you know, we haven't ever competed in Quiz Bowl, but now with the U of H kids, maybe that's something that we can kind of make their project. Like, okay, hey, this is going to be your thing. You prepare them. And then if they do well, it's all because of you. If they don't, well, you know, maybe that's on me. That's on me, you know, because I'm essentially the leader. And if they don't do well, it's my fault. But and so do you have any sort of, like I said earlier, like a release of responsibility schedule? Or is it just like as you just have a internal feel for it?
Obviously, we're not going to give them something that they're like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. We kind of feel them out at the beginning and say, all right, you know, you're confident in this, you're not so confident in this. And we try to build up what they're not as confident in within their realm of comfortability. Because at the end of the day, they are students too. And we want them to learn and grow within their limits. So our U of H girl this past year, she was wanted to learn more about admin. And so we said, okay, we're going to have you look at our student manual, and we want you to go through and make these changes, because we were already going to do it ourselves and we had a list of things we wanted to add in. And so as an admin task, we tasked her with that and then reviewed it, and we went through with her, this is why this is good, this is why this isn't good. So that way she just gets that clinical experience in the admin realm, which they don't do in everyday settings, you know, different things like that. And so it kind of, it varies based on each individual person and kind of what they're comfortable with. And then we always ask, what are you not comfortable with? And we try to make them comfortable, because a diamond grows from pressure.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so one of the things that I wish I could have done more was I had one of my MA2 students take and look at the rank one data. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay, well, these were the football injuries. And then I actually had her kind of explain it to the head football coach. And he just came in, sat and listened to her. And I was going to have her follow up with that. But I didn't really know the 8 weeks and when it started and ended. And so I missed the opportunity. And then, you know, things get busy. And so I think that's one of the things that we can continually do is like, hey, you know, at week five, you're going to need to look at injury data, create a plan, and speak with the coach of that sport. You know, that kind of thing. That's just part of my release responsibility. But any other really cool things that, you know, that just stand out, like this is a really cool project we do with ours that everybody should do?
So something I learned when I was in undergrad going through my accredited program was we called it Twisted Tuesdays. So every Tuesday, the older classmen, either the juniors or seniors, whoever was in charge of that sport, they were in charge for the day. The preceptors dressed down in what the students were wearing, and those students in charge dressed up as the preceptors. And so every injury, that new injury that walked in, they were supposed to corral how to treat it or task a student with going through the rehab with them. They had to set up practice. They had to go talk to the coaches and deliver the injury report. And so that's something that I've taken over with me to Dawson. And every Thursday night on the during football season, our U of H students are in charge. So they're the first ones to go onto the field. They're the ones that sets up the games for the day, make sure that practices are going well. And that is their time to get their autonomy and also to feel confident in those high-pressure situations.
All right, so talk to me a little bit more about how you prepare your staff, and maybe since you've been doing it for a long time, they don't really need it, but preparing the students and the staff for that Thursday night. Because it's something when I talked with Dr. DJ Gilliland, if he's currently at Texas Tech, about that, and he's like, you know, as you see them, give them that responsibility. And so talk to me about how you release that.
So we go over the way that games get set up in the beginning with them. They usually get a game or two under their belt as a U of H student, and then we say, all right, it's your turn. So they get to see what a normal setup looks like. They get to understand the way that we run things and how we our expectations. And then we tell the coaches, hey, by the way, tonight you're going to be hearing from so-and-so. They are in charge. And of course, we are always right there behind them, making sure that if it is something a little bit more extreme to where they are out of that, you know, comfort zone, we need to step in. We're right there. But the simple, you know, oh, my knee, I twisted it, or oh, my ankle, I rolled it. They're on top of organizing from start to finish that treatment plan, and they're supposed to communicate it with coaches. We let them communicate with parents, and that way they get that experience hands-on in that high-pressure situation, and they know that it's coming. We give them that heads up. They see it firsthand when we go through it.
All right, and then when you say you're right there with them, are you still standing on the sidelines or they're on the field? Are you halfway in between? Are you standing right beside but just not saying anything?
I'm behind them, always looking over them. I'm always watching. That's what I tell them. I'm always watching, but you might not see me. So we kind of stand off to the side, especially if they don't like people hovering. But we're always making sure that there's no malfeasance going on. We're ensuring that they're doing it correctly. And we do make sure that before they go do it in a game time situation, they've performed the skill correctly in clinic.
So you mean you've watched them do an ACL eval or, you know, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. What else as far as practical preceptor tips?
I just always remember my time as a student and things that helped me, things that didn't help me. And I try to give them the recipe for success. I always want to make sure that our students feel comfortable and can come to us with any issue. We always have an open communication of any question that they have, and we always want them to learn. So by providing that safety realm of education and camaraderie, we want to make sure that they know that we're an asset for them. You know, we talk to them about how we came to be who we are, and we want them to feel proud in their journey too. And so we just always give them the confidence that they forgot that they had.
So for me, I'm 42. I graduated back when there was the internship. There was no master's program, that kind of thing. And so I kind of am at a disadvantage in that I didn't have anything to look at. So I'm kind of having to make it all up. But Sophia actually went through the U of H program. And so I do have that to kind of lean on there. And so it's just, I'm trying to, you know, get up to speed on all of that. So definitely remember, you know, what helped me. And again, I was in the old school where you just sat there in the athletic training room for hours and hours, did all your homework and your laundry in the athletic training room, everything. So anything that you've seen or heard from your students in all these years that, like, this was really bad, that somebody did something I should try and avoid?
A lot of times whenever we do kind of expose them in the first few weeks, they feel overwhelmed. But we explain to them that every situation you get in is not going to be a comfortable one. You're not always going to feel like it's easy. And so a lot of times we get, you know, at first I was really nervous because you could just kind of like put me in there. And I'm like, but we explained it. We went through it. And it is scary. And that's what our job is. And I think sometimes that realization shock, they get a little like, oh, okay, we're humbled by it. Sometimes we have them drive our mule, which is like our gator. A lot of times they're like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. And I'm like, okay. So we listen to what their comforts are and we respect them to an extent. But as far as the different learning opportunities and things we've done with them, I don't think there's been anything they're like, no, never do that again. They always appreciate the interactions that we give them.
All right. If someone wants to reach out and get a hold of you, maybe ask you for some more, or just kind of follow what y'all are doing there at Dawson, what's going to be the best way?
So you can always email me at fryc@paralandisd.org. That's always probably the best during work hours. If not, you've shared my Instagram. That's another good way to reach out to me. But I'm always willing to help and ensure that people are going to provide the best programs possible for our future athletic trainers.
Fantastic. And again, it's a great opportunity. If you have it, make sure you do it well. Right, don't do a disservice to the students, you know, and don't be that cranky old AT, right? So I'm really excited. Hopefully we'll continue this conversation maybe next year or just throughout the year so that I can learn from you about how to be a good preceptor. So Christina Fry, she's going to be hosting some of the interviews here at the Sports Medicine Update. And again, if you want to get a hold of her, the email and all that stuff will be at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/practical-preceptor-tips. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/practical-preceptor-tips. Thanks.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.